guys. Thursday, Thursday night, Scotch for Dummies.
Scotch for Dummies alive.
Hot diggity dog. We only got three. I think it's three and a possible.
Possibility.
I'm not sure if we're going to make it or not. I think I'm not giving up hope.
Work events.
I'm not giving up hope. Yeah. Happy Thursday, guys.
That's what it's for. Cheers. And keep
that's
going.
Exactly.
And we can have the show tonight and we can talk about my favorite subject, whiskey.
Mm.
What's not the love?
What? We're going to talk about whiskey tonight?
Mm-hmm. Scotch whiskey.
We're going out a little on the edge here.
Well, we're going back to roots tonight, man. We're
roots.
We're, the roots.
And when you think about it from last week's content, we're kind of following a new theme. We're rewinding back to the early days of being dummies, and we're going to talk about some topics that over the course of last week and the next few weeks on just kind of the basic things that you need to know when you're getting started on the journey.
Yep. Foundation.
The foundation.
Yeah, it's easy when you get into whiskey and you get pretty advanced to kind of forget your basics. So I think it's really appropriate that we cover some of these topics again, because I'm researching something for next week that I'm like, I know we've talked about this on a show before, but it was a long time ago, and yeah. I'm having to relearn lots of stuff.
And things have changed. What is the actual title of tonight's show,
Mark? So it's Scotch Whiskey 101 is kind of like the overarching theme, right? Tonight is the five categories.
Right,
and of Scotch Whiskey.
Of Scotch Whiskey is really what it is. I mean, when you talk about any other spirit, they've all got their own rules. They've all got their own, you know, guidelines and their own parameters or whatnot. Scotch is no different. But what makes Scotch a little bit different is there's actually five different types of Scotch, I guess you could say, you know, and they're actually called out. They are a thing. It's not just, you know, like a unwritten rule.
No,
it's definitely you know, a specific thing that the Scotch Whiskey Association has defined.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about it. Let's go into what those five things are, what makes them different and unique, why they're there, and what it means to you when you're looking at a bottle and drinking it, and maybe what you're getting out of the flavors, that kind of stuff.
So this is more of a deep dive into, like, I am new to Scotch whiskey and I'm walking into a liquor store, and I'm walking down a Scotch aisle and I see these kind of areas set up, right?
I think
that's
what we started our YouTube channel about.
It is.
That's right.
It's exactly. Four guys on a Scotch journey to help you with your...
And this is part of your journey. And so we're going to talk about basically those bottle sections in a sense, right?
I mean, if you think back to when you literally just got into Scotch...
No,
okay, Drew, you didn't know a thing. You came down to the house, and I put down, I don't know, we had 10, 12 bottles out on the island in the kitchen. And, you know, you look at a label, and you see blended Scotch whiskey. What the hell does that mean? You know, single malt Scotch whiskey. Tons of people don't know what that really means,
yeah.
Right? But yet, you look at some of the most popular whiskeys Scotch in the world, you know, the most, Johnny Walker Blue. Do people that are spending all that money on that really know it's just a blended Scotch?
Yeah.
I don't know.
If they knew what blended Scotch, even that, those so, words, so like, what does that really mean?
It's the same category as Inverhouse.
Oh, wow.
Technically, it's the same category.
Oh, God.
Shots fired.
It's just the high end of that category.
Yeah. So it's about educating yourself, because, I mean, you can obviously dive into the deep end of the pool. We did. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nope.
But, you know, along the way, you might have to look back and say, all right, wait, I missed a lot of stuff. I need to go back and stop here and find out what that means.
For sure.
And so that's what we're going to dive into tonight.
Cool,
and we've got five we're going to get into. Let's talk about, I already mentioned a little bit about rules, right? And the governing body over Scotch, right? The Scotch Whiskey Association mm-hmm. is who basically sets down the rules and standards, and they're really there to protect the industry more than anything.
Yep.
But what really are the basic rules to be Scotch, right? And we don't have to get into all the hairy details, right? So that there's a couple of really basic ones, like there has to be a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be 3 years old, right? What's that mean? And it means it has to sit in the cask for 3 years.
Yes.
Okay, got that. Ingredients are important,
mm-hmm.
right? Has to be barley or other grain, and the grain is specific too. I believe there's restrictions on some types of grain.
Well, for grain whiskeys, not necessarily.
Right,
but for barley.
Well, yeah, for single malt,
for sure.
And we're going to get into that.
More tricky, yeah.
But compared to other spirits, and the easy one here is to talk about is bourbon, right? Everybody, I mean, I know before I got into this, I thought, oh, bourbon has to come from Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Nope.
It's got to be all corn, right?
Nope. 51% corn. 51%
though.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, there's specifics that make them all unique. And in the great wide world of Scotch, there are five different categories that a Scotch whiskey can fall into, mm-hmm. right? So what are the five? We'll name the five, and then we'll do deep dives on what those are. Can you name those five, Drew?
Oh, well.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, you should be able to.
No pressure, Andrew. I don't really appreciate the pressure on the spot here. Single malt, single grain.
There's two.
Blended Scotch.
That's three.
Blended single. No, blend. Blended grain.
Yeah.
And what's the other one?
Johnny Walker Green.
Well, blended grain.
Blended. You already said grain.
Oh, blended Scotch.
Blended malt.
Blended malt.
Oh. See?
Dun, dun, dun.
Pressure. I don't like pressure. That's not nice.
So let's
Give me technology pressure. I'm right. Good, but.
Single malt, single grain, blended malt, blended grain, and blended. Right? And which that one's a little bit, you know, confusing because you already have two other blended ones. You're like, okay, now you're really muddying the water. But we'll get into what the differences are and why they need them, right? And some of the misconceptions, because there are misconceptions about it. And honestly, when I was researching this, and I've got a ton of notes here just to keep us on track, I actually learned something that I guess I never thought about. Mm. And I'll mention that when we get to that topic. But we'll start off with the probably the most popular one, I think, right now anyway. It's very
popular.
In the U.S. or
in the world?
I say it's most popular because it's in my mind most popular.
Oh yeah, that's different.
Because
world is always going to be
blended. The U.S. is actually a small market by volume, but correct. A high market by value.
Mm-hmm. Value.
So the price, the cost per liter in the U.S. is much higher than the rest of the world
because we're buying this category because this category is more expensive.
Yep.
And that's the single malt. So single malt Scotch whiskey. What makes that unique to any other Scotch whiskey? If I call it single malt, what does that mean? Define single malt to me. Andrew, what do you think?
So that, that means it's from a single, it's 100% malted barley from one distillery.
From one distillery. That's it. So.
Feed the table? Or what do you call it? Table?
Well, you're talking about something like, you know, like field to table, right? Or you know.
No, that's not what it
means. That's not it. It basically says that there is one ingredient there's water and yeast, but the one grain, and that's malted barley.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So that's it. And then the other key thing for this distinction is that it comes from a single distillery. So I will confess when I didn't know a damn thing about Scotch whiskey.
Mm-hmm. I apparently still don't.
I didn't. I had a misconception here. You'd say single malt, and I pictured a cask. Yeah, and that's where my whiskey came from. Right?
One cask, baby.
Single, there you go. And that's different. Single cask is not single malt, right?
Yeah,
correct.
And so what...
Well, so tell, why not?
Well, the eye-opener is a distillery can distill 1,000 casks and lay them down, and 10, 12 years later, they can mix a bunch of those casks together, and because it all came from one distillery and only used malted barley, it falls under the single malted category.
So is it all are all those casks the same age then?
Not necessarily. They're all at least three.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. So that's the thing.
Part of the vat then or no?
So what you're telling me is that a single malt Scotch is a blend of Scotches.
From one distillery using exactly.
So you can have sherry casks, you can have bourbon casks, you can have wine finish casks.
There's some...
all that kind of stuff can be all put into one big tank and it's a single malt whiskey.
Because it came from one distillery and used one grain, malted barley. That's it. And the way you spelled it out is the aha moment that I hope listeners catch.
That's
like,
what I
wait did. A minute. Did he say blend? Then why are they calling it single, right? Well, because it falls within the definition of single malted scotch from the Scotch Whiskey Association.
Yeah, I think that's something that people don't understand, how complex it is to be a master blender at a distillery, because you're making a single malt whiskey.
So I have a single malted whiskey in front of me, and I grabbed it because my glass was empty. I've got Glenallachie this is actually single cask.
What?
Okay. Now you're confusing me.
It does. It's single malted. I'll not get into the details. I shouldn't have read that detail, right? It's single malt because it was all distilled at Glenallachie, and it's malted barley, 100%. There's no other grain in it. So I'm actually going to pour a little bit of this because I think this came from an Oloroso puncheon, 15 years old. I'm sorry, I'm going to pour some.
So, okay, so let's some clarity here. So single malt, you're saying as long as it's from the same distillery and the same, it has to be the same batch? Or you're saying it could be different batches?
No, it is different batches.
Oh, it's completely different batches. So, they could be years apart. They could be years separated.
Then, I know I'm skipping ahead here, but blended malt then is different barley strains?
No, we'll get there. But there's a difference, absolutely, and that's why we're doing this. There's definitely a difference there. There's one defining characteristic, and we'll get to that when we get to that category.
Okay. Yeah, so that was the thing that we were talking about, the master blender at a distillery. They have a flavor profile they need to meet. So they're, say, Glen Moten. That's pretty safe. Let's say Macallan 12. So Macallan 12 has, it's a single malt whiskey. It's a minimum 12 years old. But people know what Macallan 12 tastes like. And those master blenders need to take a constantly changing stock of barrels and grain, or barrels and barley batches and cask quality and cask finishing and cask whatever, and make a consistent product.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a completely recipe. Changing... Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's a changing input, but they want it to taste the same
output.
So they want to create the same taste. So they take new stock that's no less than 12 years old, but they may add some old stock. They may add some weird barrels. They may add some bourbon barrels in there to kind of mellow it back out. There's lots of things they could do.
Right.
But as long as it's all from the same distillery, it's all Macallan 12, but that recipe, year to year, very likely changes pretty dramatically.
Well, we know for a fact that happens because we've done this even recently as a Macallan Classics. Like and we've done it in, like, we can probably name four or five bottles, but there's variations for sure in that what we'll call recipe. But at the end of the day, it's still blah, 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 12-year-old.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We've done some really in deep dives on these, like with the Boone Hobbin 12s. I mean, I got Boone Hobbin 12s that span 25 years. And, you know, you have one from one end and one from the other. And they're two different whiskeys,
for
brother.
For sure.
Yeah.
The Aaron 10s are another one.
Sure. The color is different.
That threw us off. Right. Yeah, like, what is this? That's apart. Still a single malt.
You're absolutely right, it is. But I contest, from what you just said about master blenders at distilleries, I contest that's a more difficult job than picking a single cask.
Oh, absolutely it is.
Single cask, I can go in and judge that cask and say, she's ready or she's not. She's not, put her away, put her in that corner of the house, whatever.
Easy. Right,
but
climate, whatever.
Blending things together to get a consistent flavor output, blows my mind.
Well, and especially places that are these high volume places like Glenmorangie and Macallan and those kind of places where they're probably blending hundreds of barrels at a time. And
right.
So either they taste hundreds of barrels or they have a representative of blocks of barrels that they use to create a blend.
So
it's no joke.
I did pull the chat for a second, and it's also the still type, right? Everyone says it has to be a pot still.
I don't necessarily know if it has to be. I will say
it does.
I think it does.
It does need to be a pot still to be a single malt, yes.
Okay, so good call on that. That's obviously part of the definition by the Scotch Whiskey Association. I pulled the two most prominent. These two, it's definitely. Yeah. But yes, that's a good a good call, everyone. You're absolutely right about that. A pot still is important. It defines it. But now it threw me off on one thing I wanted to say about it, and I don't remember.
It's interesting, though, I mean, because I'm going to go back to your point. Like, and let's be specific about the bottle. Let's just say Macallan 12. Let's just talk Macallan 12.
Macallan 12.
And so, in my mind, for the longest time, you know, I go through the whiskey making process, right, from the barley to the, you know, all the things to the worm, all the stuff, and you distill it, and you put it in the barrel, and it sits there and it ages for 12 years. That to me screams everything single malt. But you're saying is they'll grab this and they'll take a sample of this and like. It's not, to Mark's point, it's not just put it back in the corner, let it sit somewhere. You're saying it needs some new make 12 or
some other flavor.
Yeah, I need 10,000 bottles this week. I need to make something.
Right.
So I need my inventory.
It's not just about the aging process. It's the aging process and also mixing a little bit more of, I'm sure it could be other things as well, like Macallan. You said no age, right? Macallan 10-year-old. I mean, obviously,
it's got to be. It's got
to
be.
If they're putting an age statement on it,
it's
got to
be 12, right?
Yeah, but
it could be 12 older. From.
But say 1 year you got a, say 12 years ago you got a batch of sherry casks that were really potent, that were really hot, and they put in a lot of flavor into that 12-year-old. Well, Macallan 12 may not be normally that strong, so in parallel, Macallan put a bunch of whiskey in bourbon barrels too, to tame down things if they needed to.
How does this play into vatting then? Is that something similar? Can you just vat some of that together? Or is that basically
it's exactly the same thing?
Yeah,
it's
exactly sure you can.
When you're making a batch of a single malt, you vat all that whiskey together and you put it all into one container. You mix it up. Sample it. You see what it needs. You may add another barrel. You may add. You know, whatever.
But you're thinking of like Glenfiddich 15, where it's a Solera. That's you can't really control the flavor profile.
Solera cask is different, but yeah.
Well, that's right. Or multiple years too.
Yeah. So I mean, at the end of the day, you have somebody in a distillery that is picking casks from their dunnage house that they're going to mix together to get a certain flavor profile, and it's one thing if it's a limited release.
Sure.
Can't go wrong,
no big
man.
Deal.
Don't have to repeat
Make
this
it
shit.
Make it taste good, yeah. Make it taste good.
But think about freaking your standard Macallan 12, where they're trying to produce an assload amount of liquor, right?
Hundreds of thousands of bottles.
I mean, how many casks are they just pouring into a big vat or whatever it is?
To me, they have to have so many people on staff that are tasting. In other words, Andrew, your job is to go source 100 casks that fit this flavor profile. Drew, yours is to go pick 50 and I'm going to oversee this knowing that if I mix those 150 together, I will end up with this.
That's exactly the way you do it. And you've got, that's why these big distilleries control is so important, that they need their people that are getting the casks to be consistent and get consistent casks, because I don't need to taste all those casks. I want to taste every one of 50 or one of 10 or whatever to not have to do that, because I need consistent casks, I need a consistent distillate, and I need consistent storage, which then I can infer that the whiskey is going to be the same. You still have to taste some of it.
Hell yeah, you do.
Woo, it's a lot of work.
Single malt scotch is not single cask scotch.
It is not single cask.
Basically, again, it's single. It comes one grain, malted barley, all from a single distillery and distilled in a pot still.
Yep.
Correct.
So let's move to the next one, which is harder to find, I think, honestly is probably not as appreciated as much, but I definitely think it has place because it's affordable and usually a lot older, and that's single grain scotch. And people were going to say, "Well, isn't barley a grain?"
It is. Barley is absolutely.
So what the fuck, man?
And you can have barley in a single grain whiskey.
What? It's tricky.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can.
Absolutely. You're damn right. You can.
So, in fact, you probably need barley in there to get it to ferment.
Single grain scotch.
Give me the legal.
You want the definition of it? Right. Here's the right. Single grain scotch uses a variety of grains such as wheat or maize in addition to malted barley.
Okay.
But despite the term grain singular, single grain scotch does not refer to a single type of grain, but rather a category that includes a mix of grains. So to be a single grain scotch, you have multiple grains in this, but it comes from one distillery.
A single distillery. Yeah, so
it's like, whoa, that's not the same rules as single malt. What the fuck, man? And I did not know you could mix the grains here. I thought single grain.
Oh, you absolutely do mix the grains.
One grain, one distillery, just like the malted side, the barley side.
No.
It's not.
And it doesn't have to be pot still.
And no, it honestly is predominantly column still.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So when I think of this as the grain, is kind of a. It means it's not brandy. It's not made out of wine or grapes. It's not made out of fruit. It's another grain whiskey.
So what do we have? I mean, that's the name. There's rye, there's wheat, there's...
corn, rice, corn, barley, all those kind of things are different grains.
I guess, is rice considered? I mean, that's more of a Japanese thing, but...
It is a grain.
So, I just didn't realize when I was reading this and researching this that really I was like, I had an aha moment, like, I guess I never thought about it. It does not match the same definition as single malt.
Correct. It's a broader term.
A different definition. And it just doesn't make sense to me. I'm like, well, that's just kind of fucked up. they're both single. Why can't they be the same?
Yeah.
Okay. So... anyway, single grain is not as popular, but it's different. Well, and it's a different whiskey than single malt.
Popular is, I mean, it could be, in our world, it's not as popular. But I would say there are some people that will say it's the better quality whiskey out there.
What makes it different, guys, other than the ingredient? We know it doesn't have barley. It's not single malted barley, right? We know that.
Yeah, so we have a Master of Malt Canvas 30-year-old single grain Scotch whiskey here.
Right. And I will say predominantly the single grains, usually you get older single grains for cheaper than single malts, for sure. That single grain is a 30-year-old, and if that was a 30-year-old malted, it would probably be twice the price.
Easily.
True.
Now,
our friend John Glazier is a huge grain fanatic.
And our local good friend Jeff Teamy loves his grains, and he's opened my eyes and palate to them.
Kudos to him, because the grains that he has introduced to us are fantastic.
They're exquisite.
Grains we have had in the past, I have not been very keen to. And to the point now where, like, if we do blinds or whatever, I can almost pull out a grain because I'm like, it's just not the... It's not what I'm looking for. It's not malty at all. It's just very light. It's very unmalty.
Yeah. So you're right. It tends to have a less grain flavor, except it's a grain whiskey. So you don't get the biscuity and the oats and the kind of nuttiness that you get out of a malt.
But this has a great nose on it. Like
they traditionally are a little bit lighter for a few reasons. Number one, because of the grains that we're using, but also because of the continuous still.
The stills, stills strip out a lot of the richness.
And let's be realistic. There's a vast majority of your grain whiskeys in Scotland that are being used for other blends.
Oh, for sure.
Other categories. So there's not nearly as many single grain offerings as there are single malts.
Well, and that's part of it's the demand thing. So, you know, 20 years ago, there weren't many single malt whiskeys either. But all of a sudden, there's a demand, and people started making single malts. Single grain whiskey, there's not a lot of demand for it, because typically it's a lighter flavor. And so, therefore, if people want a big, strong whiskey, a grain whiskey isn't what you're looking for.
But because it's lighter... it's great for base.
Exactly.
Good foundation, man.
Yeah, and because you're not using malted barley, which is the most expensive grain out there, is malted barley, and you're using a column still, so you're just cranking the kilos through
producing.
That.
Yeah. Right.
It's just less expensive per liter.
Let's be realistic. You know, the other categories that we have left to talk about are various blends. You look at your Johnny Walkers, your Chivas's, your Dewars. They're using a ton of grain whiskey as their base. And that's why you're not going to see as many single grains. But there is a time and place for them, and I definitely think there's
so delicate.
It is delicate.
It's very delicate.
You got to be a little bit more ready and mature.
You
in
just
your
don't. I mean, in general, when's the last time you've walked into a liquor store and saw a single grain whiskey?
They're hard to find.
They're just not very abundant, right?
I think you have to be looking for them. God, that's really good,
it's
though.
Delicious.
I know it is.
It's
delicious.
That's absolutely delicious.
You know, so when I, you know, I've got a lot of whiskey friends, and here in Indiana, we have a lot of bourbon fans. And you give this to a bourbon person, and they're going to be a little taken back because it's like, well, I it's got the burn of whiskey, but it doesn't have the
huge, rich, overpowering punch
and the
flavor.
Oak and the heavy vanilla. I mean,
no.
it's very palate similar to an Irish for me. Like it's got very same kind of tendencies of a light,
creamy, buttery,
metallic, kind of heathery. You know, sometimes you get some other nuts and stuff in there, but this right now. Like, what are you guys getting in this? I mean, it's just honey, oats.
First nose was cream. I was like, oh,
light,
this is cream.
Light caramel, but
yogurt.
just a little bit.
I had a wee bit of honey. I'm not sure I like the water on it as much.
A little crisp green apple.
That definitely, the water made it much more crisper. I was like, oh, wait, that's definitely a different smell, but it's a unique type of scotch. It's not as popular. It's not as prevalent. For a lot of reasons, but it nevertheless is one of the five categories.
It is.
And it's realistic. Thanks for this bottle. This is fantastic. Bottle.
Yeah, Jeff
Team. Great bottle.
Really owe him a thank you for that one. So those are the two singles. And with those two, we can have the other three.
Oh, yeah.
Can't have the other three categories without
those two.
Yeah.
These kind of are like the foundation of the five. Without these two categories, you can't end up with the other three.
Yep.
Because the other three are combinations thereof, right?
Yep, that's true.
Okay, so we're going to move into the wide world of blinds.
I feel like there should be a movie quote or something. You missed the ball on that one.
I'm
Top
trying
Gun,
to be good,
there's
Drew.
Something
You're
in there.
You're pulling it out of me, man.
I know. I kind of felt like
don't
there's...
Don't force it, Drew.
Wow.
Come on.
I know. He's just like... Oh, my God.
You know it's going to come out
now.
You
just won't engage.
There it is.
You know what I mean? You got to get him in the air.
There it is. Just can't resist it.
Oh, my God.
So what's the next one?
Let's move into... there's two different ways we can do it. And the way I had them was just going blended malt, blended grain again.
Okay.
And so we'll back up and go into blended malt. And I'm going to pass it over to Andrew because I'm going to drink this grain.
So a blended malt... So what you're telling me is,
I like this category.
To make a single malt, you have to blend casks. But to make a blended malt, you have to get casks from different distilleries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the only distinctive feature,
that
right?
That literally is the
so
only.
So single, basically, what we talked about, it's just my house.
It's one distillery.
Don't come out of my house.
Yep.
This is my house. But blended malts are multiple houses.
Yep.
There's different distilleries.
It's a neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm buying sugar from your house, and I want some sugar over here.
Right. Yeah.
Give me some of your chocolate chips.
Your chocolate chips
oh,
over
shit.
There. Yeah, so,
I'll
you know,
give you a dollar.
It's still pot still. It's still blended malt, but it's just different distilleries that are providing
right.
material. And so typically these are either done by independent bottlers or conglomerates.
Big boys.
Okay.
The big boys. I mean,
there's a couple of, and I guess, I don't know if you'd call them big boys. We do have one that we're going to pull out to pour a little bit of the blended malted category. But a couple other big hitters that cross my mind are Monkey Shoulder.
Yep. Huge.
Blended malt.
Yep.
I had, Naked.
Which used to be Naked Grouse, yeah.
Which Naked Grouse, that's a malt.
It's
all malted.
It is a blended malt, doesn't
it?
It
is. And so they are out there. They're not as prominent as the last category we're going to talk about, which is just blended whiskey. But the big distinction that you want to...
So,
what was that? the big distinction you want to talk about is it's all malt, all malted barley, and it's different distilleries that are combining these categories.
It's single malt, but one better.
Right.
It goes
so
to 11.
There's not... These aren't distilleries that are bottling blended malts.
Yeah.
These are
big
bottlers.
Companies. Yeah,
big mostly bottlers.
And the Johnny Walker,
because,
Chivas.
Yeah, because your distilleries,
famous.
Yeah,
Grouse.
Anybody Diageo. You know, these big companies that
Diageo,
they can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And because they've got multiple distilleries, and if you have graduated from a blender at a single distillery, and you want to get a new job with the big company, you know that each distillery has its own character.
Right.
And you want to put together a whiskey that has combinations of multiple characters.
So you could argue it's like graduating to the more difficult job, but you could also say maybe not, because it just means I have more to choose from.
Correct. Hmm. But things can get ugly fast.
Oh, shit.
If you add too much chaos is bad.
To me, these, when you start getting in, like you think about Johnny Walker producing Johnny Walker 15 green, it's blended malt. Mm-hmm. And we got a bottle of it right here. I'm gonna actually pour a small little pool of it right here. Yeah, this is all malted whiskey.
And we've got a lot of discussion on this in the past in one of our videos. This is the only one, right? That it's malted?
This is the only Johnny Walker that's malted.
Right. Everything else is grain.
Everything else is blended. There's malt and grain in it.
Correct.
We'll talk about that. It blows my mind that they produce that at a consistent rate.
Incredible.
Do we know the distilleries?
Well, we know the base is what, probably 85%, what, Coahuila?
Yeah. I mean,
it's not that.
No, it's not that strong.
It's not that peated. It feels like it. That's how they get most of their.
No, it's not that peated though.
Oh no, it's not that peated. It could be young Coahuila though.
I don't know all of the distillers, and I mean honestly, you get into the Johnny Walker Blue, which is just blended. It's not blended malt. And they say there's something like 40 different distilleries in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just mind-boggling to me.
I can't imagine trying to pull the best cast from 40 different distilleries.
And that is such a. I mean, honestly, you guys remember that? It's such a light. Smooth,
delicate
bottle.
It is very delicate, very smooth.
So smooth.
Drink.
So let's reverse and go back from the beginning. So we've got single malt, single grain.
Yep.
We're talking about
blended malt.
So if you are, walk me down a liquor store aisle, you're going to see these and kind of, now you're not really going to see single grain anywhere. You're gonna see
you're gonna see big single box malt stores or boutiques.
Your
ones.
Boutique ones are probably gonna be
your big box stores might have them in the glass shelves.
There's really only two main categories in liquor stores if you think about it. It's single malts and blends, right? I mean, what else?
Blended?
Are you
what? Yeah, single malts. Yeah.
And then in the blends, this is where it gets confusing. In the blends are our concoctions of blended grains, blended single malts, blended. Blended malts.
Blended malts, blended grains, and blends.
And blends.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. So this is all malted barley from multiple distilleries in this bottle of Johnny Walker 15. We have
green label.
We had another example here that it's not opened, and I don't know
why. Is it
why
the Old Cross?
Why isn't this opened? It's Old Cross. I
think we bought it for something.
We holding it? I don't want to open it going, oh, wow, we saved that for something, and I just opened it.
Have you seen the bottles in the bar? Open the bottle if you want a glass.
I think you can buy that. It's on the shelf, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know.
Isn't that a standard
it's
release?
A standard.
Yeah.
Is Oak Cross still available?
I'm pretty sure it is.
You might want to check online because I don't know. Maybe this is a special. Like,
wait 20 seconds to
this
see
this is
comments.
A first.
Yeah, let us know before we open it.
Is Oak Cross a first edition?
I'm pretty sure it's standard.
Somebody out there will
I mean,
tell
yeah,
us.
It's got his John Glazer signature on it, but no.
Shut up.
It does not.
We do have bottles with John's signature on it, so you're right.
So anyway, what was your point with this? This is a blended malt.
This is a blended malt as well. And, you know, as we get into the blended categories, it's not a surprise that we're going to bring up Compass Box, because Compass Box is a blender.
I was just going to go
there.
That's what they do.
John Glazer acquires casks from multiple distilleries. It has been discontinued. Thank you, Jim. So do we open it or?
I don't care. If you want a glass, open it.
Replaced by Orchard House. So it's not. You're killing me, Smalls.
Just open the bottle for God's sake. Yeah, it's not going to hurt you. So yes, Compass Box, that's all they do is they make blends, and they make incredible blends.
Done now.
And so one of their blends that's always been a favorite of ours is Peat Monster. And shoot, they've had, how many versions of that do they have now? Like three, four different Peat Monsters?
Three.
I think three, right?
I say three, but maybe.
But that's what they're known for. And so this is, I don't remember ever having this. I'm pretty sure we have. But this is a blended malt.
So, right.
Malt.
And honestly, if we were quick enough, if we had somebody doing IT, or, you know, directing here, we can have them look up and find out what the, because you can find out the distilleries that are involved in this, yes, this blend.
This is,
John's pretty good that about that.
Really, I see what fruity you're doing there.
It does smell like a bit like Orchard House, actually. Makes sense, because it is really sweet and light and fruit, like apples and pears and that kind of stuff. Makes total sense.
Smells wonderful, though.
Yeah.
So that's, not to skip over and say that this category is not as important, but at the end of the day, once you understand the base foundation categories of single grain and single malt, you kind of, it's easier to follow along on where you would get, where you're coming with the blended malt. Let's talk about some other things that make, some of the other topics that make blended malts worth talking about. So multiple distilleries, we did that. It has malt barley exclusive. We talked about that. There's blending, obviously, where you're blending from these multiple distilleries. It also offers a diversity of flavor because you're pulling in from multiple. So you're getting different distillate. So you're starting to see a little bit more of variety and flavor profile and a little bit more option, if you will, right? If you're talking about single malts from a distillery, you can expect there's a consistent backbone. It's
their DNA.
It's their DNA.
Yeah.
Yes. So when you get into blended malts, you can play with that DNA a little bit, right? You can mix it up a little bit.
That's what I love about blended whiskeys.
I think the interesting thing, to your point, is Compass Box does a good job of listing what they're blending, right? And so this is Highland Malt Blend, 39%. And it is Dalyuan Distillery, which is 14%. And then the other one is...
That's really good.
Kleinleash, which is 47.
You know damn well, because John loves Kleinleash. There's actually a little bit of a spice note on the back end of this that's enjoyable to me.
I do love a blended whiskey because it has those different components that you don't normally get in a single whiskey, in a single malt, or even a single grain. You just don't get the ability to kind of create those distillate characters in one whiskey.
And I've never really thought about it from this perspective, but you can actually create a specific mouthfeel with a specific taste that you wouldn't normally get with that taste.
Exactly.
Or with that, you know, well, you can combine these things.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the malt. The malts tend to have a richer mouthfeel. Generally, I mean, it's not 100%, but it's generally, it's got a more body to it. And it's really beautiful.
It's interesting because... When you get into blended malt specifically, and that's what Johnny Walker, he's got an interesting backstory, right? I don't want to go into it today, but I mean, just he basically said, hey, I see some extra cast from Johnny Walker over here, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to put these together and see what I can make. And that's basically what you're doing. You could technically do it today. And we had a show a while back. We had our patrons send us their blends, and it's basically...
It was fun.
Just figuring out what may work together, knowing what distilleries are doing what. And that's all he's done. He's basically grabbed distilleries and flavor profiles and mashed them together to create something. And this is Oak Tree.
That's a really simplified Reader's Digest version of what he did.
It's obviously more sophisticated than that.
I mean, but he came from a wine industry with a hell of a background and a nose and a palate. But he also, because he came from that, he had the ability to see what you just said, these casks laying over here. He's like, and we could take some of this, we could take some of that, and we got something. And the company he's working for at the time, Johnny Walker's like, we ain't got time for that shit. Get rid of those casks and let's move on. We got to produce another million. Let's go.
Yeah, I need another million Johnny Black. Come on, let's go.
And he's like, yeah, fuck this, man. I'm going to go do my own thing. And look at him now. I mean, he's making great whiskey. But I'm definitely enjoying, I don't know if we should open this, but it's good. I'm glad we did. Now we drank it.
Yep.
So that was third category, blended malt. Let's transition into, makes sense, blended
grain.
Grain, right? Okay, so is it the same thing? I don't know, because it wasn't the same thing going from single malt to single grain. Bastards.
No, but it blended malt. So you're taking a bunch of single grains and blending them together?
Isn't that what hedonism is?
Yeah, so the only difference between blended malt and blended grain is single grain and single blended grain is just different distilleries.
Mm-hmm.
So it still uses multiple grains, but it's grain. It's
different
it's
houses.
Distillate coming from different houses, different distilleries.
Right. But do they all need to be different grain whiskeys?
No,
no.
So you can add a malt
what?
Blend or a grain. Single malt into a blended grain.
Sure, I can. But it I just. Can, if I take a single malt and a single grain and put them together, I have a blended grain.
And if you take 50 single malts and add one single grain,
you have it's a blended grain.
Okay.
Nobody would do that.
Well, but
John did.
John Glazer, I think, did something like that.
He did that. John Glazer's the only guy that's got the nuts to do that.
It was all single malts. He put 1% of grain in there so you can call it a blend or something, right? I can't remember what that bottle was, but yeah.
So you're saying hedonism.
That's all grain, though. It's just blended grain.
This is a blended this is grain.
Blended grain with? That's what we're saying.
But it doesn't mean...
But what do you mean by grain? You say that's have, all
I, grains. I was all grains, right? Does it have malt, too?
I think he...
Malted barley is a grain, Drew.
Yeah, malted barley is a grain.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So, but I think he did take a bunch of single grain whiskeys, which... And not... He didn't add blended malt to...
I don't know if he did or not. I know our patrons out there know.
Yeah. Guys, look it up.
And you may look that one up, hedonism.
I'm going to.
The catch that you got hung up on right there, Drew, a couple of seconds ago is because it doesn't seem quite fair. Is barley is unique? All barley is barley, but it's also grain. It falls in. Barley can fall on the single barley side, and it can fall on the grain side too because it's still a grain.
So how is that different than a blended scotch?
We haven't gotten there yet.
Well, no, but a blended grain whiskey, if you can have any grain in it.
Single grain.
What do you mean?
If you can have any grain in a blended grain whiskey, you can have any grain in a blended bourbon. Scotch whiskey too, can't you?
So I'm losing my mind here on what you're asking.
So this would imply that you have to take single grain whiskeys and put them together to get a blended grain whiskey. If you add any malt whiskey to it, it becomes a blended scotch
right.
whiskey.
Right, so single grain is what there's
you have. You have
this is all single grain.
And that's what blended grain has to be then. In
okay,
other words,
so it's all
it's not malted, it's right. single grain. That's what I was saying.
It's all grain single grain whiskeys put together. Okay.
Right.
It's a very specific category. There's almost
none of them.
All I did was define blended whiskey.
Correct.
Yeah, you did. Exactly. Right.
That's what was throwing me off.
I tripped on my own dick.
You did, and you made me feel like I tripped on your dick. I don't want that.
What?
Yeah, man, stay off, dude.
Because I was like, there's no malt in this. This is other thing but grain.
No,
so,
you're right.
And I'm looking it up. It's nothing. I don't see anything malted here.
What's in it?
Now that you got it North British Distillery, Recharged American Single Oat Barrel, single grain. I'm just going to go off with the main ones. The Cameron Bridge Distillery, single grain.
Yep.
Another one of those, 6.2%. Another one of those. There's three of those mixed in there. The Port Dunwich Distillery, single grain. And the Girvan Distillery, single grain. So you got lots of blend, different
They're all single percentages. Grains, yeah.
The irony is I'll bet you every one of those casks he used for these were older than shit, too.
It doesn't say.
He doesn't put an age in there?
No, no. It just says, you know, the barrel type and the percentage. I think... Give me a second here. The 18% for the North British, one was pretty large, 20% for the Girvan, 22% for the Port Dunwich, and then everything else is 5 and 6.
So let's repeat since I
Yeah, you kind of...
Yeah, let's re-verify.
I kind of freaking got over...
So blended grain whiskey is blended grains only. Single grains.
Blended single malts. How's that?
It's single grains from multiple distilleries.
Yes.
Yes.
Single grains from multiple distilleries. I mean, at the end of the day...
This is going well tonight.
Easy. That's why we're doing it.
That's why it's confusing. Exactly. I mean, we've been doing this for a while. It's still confusing.
So if you talked about single grains and what made them unique from a flavor profile, they're lighter, they're more delicate. Same thing here. I think they're not quite as delicate and not quite as light because you're blending a bunch together, but there's no reason why they couldn't be or shouldn't be.
Yep.
Right?
Name another blended single grain besides hedonism.
This was the one. This is the one I could find.
No, okay, sure. But
so if anybody's watching online, they can look up.
I mean, this is a category
blended
that,
grain Scotch whiskey.
This is one of those categories that are out sweet. There, but it's not. I don't think it's very common.
No.
Not, I wouldn't say popular, common.
Well, either way, it's not common because it's not popular.
Sure.
I mean, nobody buys it because
it's just not. There's definitely you've got to go on a hunt and look for these if that's what you were looking for. You know, and that's a good thing. It's a fun thing. I don't remember what the price of the hedonism was, but I know it
wasn't
the cheapest bottle.
It was $100, give or take.
But it's really
years
good.
Ago, yeah.
And I think it's definitely something you can get into if you want to explore the grain side of Scotch whiskey. The vast majority of people know the single malt side of it. They know the blended, which we'll cover here in a second. Not many people spend a lot of time getting to know the single grain and the blended grain side of Scotch whiskey.
Correct.
I think it's fair to say that, especially in the USA. I think it's different overseas. Because I was just looking up some stuff, and there are a shit ton of single grain bottles, not blended, but the grains themselves. So I think there's definitely a lot out there, but there's not a lot of people blending those bottles together to create something.
Well, and
why would they? Because they gotta sell what they have in the first place.
And maybe that's why you can get those older single grains for affordable prices. You're talking 30-year-old single grains for $150.
Nothing.
And a 30-year-old single malt's
that's different. That's
it's in the fibers.
Mucho different.
Yeah.
Right. So that's four of five, and we're getting into the last one, which is kind of the easiest one now that we've covered the bases, right? Yep. And it's literally just the blended Scotch whiskey, right?
That's let's be fair. So the first one and then the last one are the big hitters of this discussion tonight, the categories, right?
Because yes, by volume and
popularity and price. And in the blended, I'll let you continue, Mark, but the blended whiskey is by far the most demanded, probably the most sold still.
By volume, by tremendous amounts.
Vast. Especially overseas.
Yes.
Globally. Well, even in the U.S., the volume of blended Scotch exceeds all other Scotch categories,
right?
Combined.
So blended Scotch is everything.
It's your Scotch whiskey suicide.
So it's funny you mentioned that because I was going to go there. Single malt is your Mountain Dew. Single Scotch is Mountain Dew plus Dr. Pepper plus Sprite.
Right. It really is. So blended Scotch whiskey basically means you can mix anything from multiple distilleries, right? Yep. So you've got blended malts, you've got single malts, you've got blended grains, you've got single grains, whatever, from a vast majority of distilleries, and you put it all together and you bottle it. Famous ones are Johnny Walker Blue. Johnny Walker Black.
Any of the Johnny Walkers are huge.
Except for Green, which is a blended malt.
All the cheap stuff. Dewars.
Yeah.
Dewars, Cutty Sark, J&B. And I mean, those, I know a lot of people look down on these labels today in 2023. Let me tell you, back in the 1980s, those were huge, heavy hitters. There wasn't a freaking market for single malts. That was it.
Well, I mean, it is still a huge market by volume.
Right. I think in our little, myoscopic or whatever you want to call it, world.
Yeah,
it's not.
You're right.
But you back out and look at what people are drinking globally, and you're right. And you look at the numbers, and you're like, holy fuck.
It's ridiculous,
I didn't know that
it's cheap.
The quantities are huge.
When I got into Scotch, and I was telling people I was doing Scotch, there was a guy I worked with who was older than I am and a fairly wealthy person. He and his buddies would get together with a 175 of Johnny Black and have a great night.
Dude, I mean,
and
you
because
can buy
it's
bottles for one bottle of malt.
Exactly. And it's good. It's got good flavor to it. And that's the beauty of a blended Scotch is they've taken the light components here. They've added a little bit of peat here. They've added, some.
It's more sherry. It's more profile options.
It is. And you can base it with you know, 50% of it can be a neutral, essentially a neutral grain Scotch whiskey to bring up the volume, and then you add touches of good flavor components to it, and you've got a great blend.
There you go. So the blended category does have a heavy component of grain whiskey.
Sure.
It's a foundational whiskey.
It's a cheaper way for them to mass produce it.
That doesn't have a lot of flavor. It's a very delicate flavor. It can be impressed on.
Right.
And a small amount of your single malt to get that flavor where you want it. Right?
So if you're, I don't know, this is maybe a stupid analogy, but if you're talking about the five categories tonight as a blend, you would put single malt whiskey and blended whiskey at probably, you know, half, probably more than half.
I'd say 80%.
80% or
90%. Maybe even higher.
Yeah.
90% of what's probably popular on shelves.
Consumed.
The single grain, the blended grain, those are all like 2%. Like, you're buying specific bottles for a reason. So,
and you know what you want. Exactly. You know what you're doing.
Right.
Yep. By far.
So interesting conversation as far as the 101 of topics of categories of whiskey. I think it's at the end of the day, it's good to know those. I think the big key here is blended Scotch and single malt Scotch.
So, and what's crazy to me though is those are like two ends of a spectrum, right? I mean, I just poured our representation of blended Scotch. We had two of them I pulled out. It was Johnny Walker Platinum, which I think is discontinued now. We just got a little bit left. We need to get rid of this. And then the Johnny Walker 18. They're both 18s. This one's the Ultimate, the Gold Ultimate. What's crazy to me, these are both blends. Blended whiskey, 18-year-old blended whiskey. Johnny Walker Blue label is a blended whiskey, non-age statement blended whiskey, by the way. These are rich. There's a weight to them. There's a richness. There's a complexity to this glass. Pour that Johnny Walker Blue. A lot of people, they say it's great because it's so smooth. Well, it's so delicate that if you don't pay attention to it, if you don't pay attention to it, you're not even getting it. But half the people that buy Johnny Walker Blue buy it for the prestige and the reputation and they're not tasting anything. They're shooting it. They're just knocking it back. And it's like, whoa.
It's more
or they're putting
marketing.
It on a bunch of ice or something.
Right.
And you're like,
yeah,
what?
You just killed that thing. That thing is so delicate. If you really want to get what that thing's about, you need to pour it and spend some time alone with it.
Well, no, even that, listen, just all you got to do is Google, YouTube, whatever, you know, blind tasting with Johnny Walker Blue in it. And I can promise you 90% of people fail to pull it out because it's a very delicate, it's very good. But you put it up against other blends out there, and it doesn't stand out as a $300 bottle at all.
No, because it doesn't have that flavor punch.
No,
right?
I will challenge anyone to a point where I can give them five glasses of blended malts and say, pick the Johnny Walker Blue, and you pick it out. Like, I would challenge anyone.
The only reason you'd be able to get it right is because it's the lightest, delicatest one in there.
It's the most simple. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
There's no edges and elbows.
You're like, that one tastes like water. That's Johnny Walker Blue.
It's not worth $200.
It does not even like that at all.
No, but it's so much lighter.
It doesn't have the edge. So my problem with sometimes with blended Scotch is they typically use young whiskey. Because they're trying to get low price, and I respect that, but it tends to have like edges and elbows and things there's some off flavors in them because it's a young grain whiskey, and an old grain whiskey that all those are gone. But in a young grain whiskey, it can be a little astringent in it, you know, acetone and some of those kind of things, whereas a Johnny Walker Blue does not have that. They've matured. It's matured enough. It's been tailored right that it doesn't have all those edges and.
It's been in a lot of movies.
Yeah,
that's
helpful. I just tried both of these 18s. They're Johnny Walker 18s. Both of them are 18-year-old Platinum and Gold Ultimate. Two different whiskeys, but they're both blended whiskeys.
I would have thought you'd brought like a Johnny Black or something, which is the core.
I scrubbed off of what was
and don't
here.
We have some Doers down here too.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many to choose from, guys. But at the end of the day, to repeat it, you know, and wrap up the show here, you've got five categories. Two are foundational, I say. Single grain, single malt. There's your two big hitters. From those two, we can make three more, and it's blended malt, blended grain, and blended. And from that, you will see it on every label. If you're looking at your labels on your shelves, you're out there and you want to know what you're buying and you're interested in that, look at the label. It's got to be on there. It's got to say.
By law, it's got to be on there.
Single malt. It's got to say single grain blend. But now when you read that, you'll understand what the difference is. And trust me, you'll notice it. When you pick up a Johnny Walker, you'll be like, blended Scotch whiskey. What do I know now? Well, shit, I know there's grain whiskey in there.
Yep. Multiple distilleries.
There's an age on it, so I know it's 18 years old. There's multiple distilleries. There's blended malt, and there's blended... There's single malt, and there's single grain in there. So I know this, yep. Right?
So in summary, as Martin just said, I think it's interesting to... And I would challenge you this. If nothing else, there's information here that is interesting to some people. But if you're getting into Scotch whiskey... specifically, and you're wanting to know more about it, now you have five categories to go try and find and taste them and see if you can tell a difference between some of them and get some aha moments and say, yeah. Oh, because I can tell you that during our journey of doing this, we started off, obviously, which I think most people probably do, with a single malt, and we were just like, boom, this is amazing. Hey, but as soon as we started getting the grains, we were like, oh, I'm not sure about this. But it was an experience. And then we started getting into other blended things, and we started understanding more things about it. And then we got hit with the single or the blended grain whiskey, which like hedonism, and that completely were like, well, what the hell is going on now? Yeah, this is different.
That's pretty good.
So it's an interesting point. I know people are in the comments talking because they've had these things. There is an association with these categories and obviously what we're tasting. And that's what I think is interesting is you can put your mind to palate to kind of understand this when you drink it. So then when you go look for some things in the liquor store, you can be like, well, that's a single grain. I'm not like single grain in the past. Maybe I'll steer clear from that one. Sure. Or maybe I won't. Maybe I'm like, yeah, no, I haven't had this before. I'll try it out. Something different.
That's the whole point. I want you to understand what you're getting into. Start educating yourself a little bit more about the label. And look, we all fall for the marketing, right? I mean, you see the label and you're like, well, that's badass. And you pick it up and you buy it. And then the whiskey was shit. But understand what's in the bottle just from the label. You can have a base there. And that's what this was really about. And we've come a long way. Hell, we didn't know anything about any of that.
Yeah.
Yep. And now we do. Does that make us better whiskey drinkers?
No, we're still dummies.
We're still dummies, but
more informed.
We're more informed and we're more educated when it comes to our buying and what we want and what we're looking for.
We're experienced dummies.
We're experienced dummies. Yeah. That sounds a little better than just dummies.
That sounds
dummy,
like
right?
A good exit for us right there.
Yep, sounds good.
Oh, man.
Good topic, Mark.
Yeah, thanks everybody for joining us. Scotch for Dummies, and we've got another topic coming up next week. This was fun, guys.
Yep. Sounds good. We'll see you next time.
Cheers. Awesome.
Cheers. 3, 2, 1.